From the deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos to the smelly sewers of Nar-Shaddaa to the brightest lights that shine on Tython, this is Flashpoint.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 74 of Flashpoint, recorded Sunday, March 16th. I'm your host, David Holloway, and with me who are two co-hosts who it is alleged may have actually played Star Wars The Old Republic over the past fortnight, although I actually didn't check that pre-show, so I could be found out to be a fool. Simon, how are you going?
I'm good.
All right, we'll get on to... I'll ask you the question in a minute. And Christy...
I have not played any Star Wars at all.
See, I'm glad I pre-wrote that intro. I jinx myself.
Well, I was going to play, and I didn't play, and so.
There's lots of other things we know. I know you have been playing, which we'll get on to in a second. So, I mean, this episode will cover, as always, Star Wars: The Old Republic. Plus, we're going to talk a bit of The Elder Scrolls, Wildstar. Star Citizen, tiny bit of Secret World, a little bit of Rift, and a little bit of Titanfall.
Before we go on, David, I think we should probably also acknowledge last weekend's National Women's Day. And I'm just glad that we live in an age where women get a day, just like cancer and diabetes.
Oh, do you know the funny thing is, because men do get a day as well. In November, there's Men's International Day, and these people on the internet were bitching because Google changed their little banner for International Women's Day, but they didn't do a banner for International Men's Day, so they screamed that was sexist. So,
that's
I love
silly.
You men on the internet.
364 and a quarter days of Men's Day.
That's right.
It's only fair you get one in a special Google banner. I think that's only reasonable.
Here.
Yeah, and my work did do a morning tea for us ladies, which a quarter of the people attended were men. So, yeah.
As long as you baked the cakes.
And did the washing up.
That's right. All right. No, very, very good hat tip there, Simon. You're a sensitive guy.
I am. I'm very new age.
All right, so let's catch up on some Republic news.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Republic news.
So there's actually been a bit happening on the Star Wars The Old Republic front, with the big thing, I would argue, being the announcement around player housing coming up in, I believe there's no set announcement of what update it is, Simon, am I right?
coming soon.
So, Simon, while I have you, I know you have a few opinions on this. I know I'm excited about it, but you've done a lot more reading on it as usual than me. What's your take on it?
Well, at this point, it's nothing but, for everybody, it's nothing but speculation because really it was just an intentionally throwaway teaser that Musco made in the live stream, which is cool. I mean, it was designed to generate discussion, and boy, howdy has it done that. But there's very little in the way of hard fact. We don't even have Darth Hater around anymore to dissect the videos, so it's just left up to the few of us crazies that still care about this sort of crap to look at. Really, there's nothing you can draw conclusively from it other than the fact that it's a character in an apartment on Coruscant by the look of things. There is a robot, but we don't know whether that's a companion droid or whether that's actually a house droid or an apartment droid or something.
I'm hoping for C2N2 in a bow tie.
Oh, that'd be cool. and a little kinky.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, so there's that. Presumably there would be multiple locations, or because I don't mind if everyone has an apartment on Coruscant, because it means my Sith Inquisitor can go roaming the halls at night and just sort of jumping out at people from the shadows, which I'd enjoy immensely, quite frankly.
Oh, seriously, how good would PvP be if that was an option?
Well, yeah, well, what about being able to break into other people's houses?
Oh, that, look, yeah, anyway. It's never going to happen, but God, that'd be good.
Yeah. Mines, anybody?
Next step, breaking into people's banks.
Yep.
No, that's the topic for Eve. Anyway, oh, wow. But, yeah, not a lot you can really glean from the video. I think there was a mailbox in there. I think there was a appearance, whatever the hell we call that. I've pay so little attention to that thing. You know, what's the console you can go to change your appearance?
Oh,
you don't know either.
Yeah. No,
one of them.
Yeah, I know who you mean. Yeah.
So presumably there'll be a few things. Whether you can decorate the place, I assume you can. Whether you can sit down, who the hell knows?
Is there a bed?
Yes. What's that? There is a bed.
Anyway, see, this is my
will you actually sleep on it, or will it just say you are sleeping and you're just standing on the damn thing?
Or can you do other things on it?
Else?
Because, like, if you're in Second Life, you could do everything you ever wanted to do on the virtual beds. Will they offer that? They'll double their subscriber base overnight.
ERP? Well, yeah, why not? I mean, but that's the good thing about the apartments is that it's a blank slate, effectively. As I've sort of had a bit of a rant about, our ships are not player housing because there's so many hidden wires and trapdoors for the developers. What was the phrase they used? That anytime they have to make a change on player ships, the developers cry. Or the coding team cry. Now that's not a good situation. So the fact that they've made a clean break and giving people apartments, I think that's a great idea. You've trying to fix the player ships would obviously be way more work than just giving someone a pretty apartment. So as far as BioWare wasting resources, I call bollocks on that, because it's going to take far fewer resources and bring in far more money than wasting time trying to get the player ships customizable.
Yeah,
I wouldn't even want to think about what's involved in that. So yeah, at this point, it's all conjecture, it's all speculation. But isn't that the fun of it? Really, this is the best part. It's the what ifs. It's the crazy wall of crazy. Basically, we'd get to knock out one wall and create three new walls of crazy for this puppy. I don't know where it's going to go, but I have also heard people talking about, oh, this is supposed to be the expansion like Galactic Starfighter. Well, I call bollocks on that as well. I can't see player housing as just an apartment or say three apartments per faction. That's not an expansion. They can't call that an expansion. It's got to be more to it than that, or the smaller it doesn't even qualify for the smaller expansion that was described in the roadmap. They're really drawing a long bow if this is it.
Yeah.
And if it is it, then there's got to be an awful lot more to it than we currently think.
Yeah. You'd literally want the PvP and everything we were just joking about involved, and even then I don't think it would qualify as an expansion.
No, even with a few mini-games. Although a few mini-games would be cool, it might be an opportunity to bring in three-dimensional chess. Oh, no, wait, wrong franchise. Sorry, couldn't resist that. But Pazak might get a Pazak table, possibly, and you can invite friends round.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it starts sounding like PlayStation Home at that point. But, yeah, let's just wait and see. I think they've dangled a carrot in front of us, and like the asses we are, we've bolted for it. So, yeah.
As long as they don't say in a few weeks, oh, on the roadmap, it's going to come sometime after same-sex romance in the game.
What, never?
Yeah, that's what I mean. So he's hoping it's not that far off. Like 2014 would be nice.
It's hard to tell. I mean, they didn't really give us any really coherent heads up for the super secret space project. That just banged on for forever, didn't it?
Yeah.
But the fact that they've been a bit more, well, PR-y, I'm going to say. That's not a word. It's not even an initial, really. But it feels to me like there's deliberate marketing plan behind this.
And Christy, as someone that yo-yos between subscribing and not in Star Wars The Old Republic, would this be a, well, I mean, I assume they'll offer it to everyone, but I'm guessing there'll be nice little tweaks for subscribers. Is that enough to keep you subscribed?
No.
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 Because you're, oh, there you go. Oh, that good. That stretched out the conversation. Let me prompt that a bit first. So I believe you've had some experience with player housing in Rift. How do you think it may compare to that?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I'm pretty cynical when things with this sort of stuff now. You can't just show an empty apartment. And granted, I am extremely jealous because that apartment looked way better than my actual real life one. So I'm kind of looking, you know, feeling very inadequate right now. But yeah, I'm very much I'm not going to be excited, or I'm not going to be one way or the other until we have more information. The data mining does look like it is customizable, but from that video, I couldn't see anything showing that it would be customizable. But yeah, can't really compare it to Rift at the moment, but I have been getting into dimensions in Rift, which is player housing and guild housing as well. You can have guild dimensions. And these things are so customizable. You essentially buy a key to something that actually exists in the game. So if there's any spot you've been to in the game, you're like, oh, I really like that. There is a chance that you could actually get that as your dimension and you can build your house from there. They have a whole crafting set around being able to build items, dimension items, which you can then freely place anywhere you want within your dimension, you know, and then you can lock it down or you can have it public so people can actually come in, interact with your dimension, but they can't wreck it, thank goodness. So when you sort of see things like that, and that how awesome it is, because that's what I'm doing. I re-rolled a character and I've actually got her crafting up dimension items. I'm saving up for this certain dimension that I want, and I'm going to be spending hours upon hours upon hours playing around with this thing. I've already got my kitchen set up. Oh, it's so pretty. But yeah, I can't see Star Wars doing that sort of level, not to be insulted to BioWare or anything like that, but I can't see it having anywhere near that sort of interaction with people and being able to customize it that well, yeah, without having to fork out lots and lots of money. Because that's one thing, Rift, everything is either you can work for it, you can pay in-game money for, or you can pay cash for. It's kind of very Eevee-like the way it's gone. So you can spend the hours crafting this stuff. You can just buy it with money, or you can buy it with credits, which is real money. And everything in Star Wars is always so, so expensive that even if they did give preferred status an apartment, a basic apartment, I could see it being just so expensive that it's just not worth doing.
And even if you do spend the money, my concern is it looks a bit like the ship, where you go into your bedroom on your ship and it's this dicky-looking bed on this metal floor with no ornaments or anything that makes it look like something you'd ever want to sleep in.
Like, it doesn't look very comfortable, does it?
No.
At least Final Fantasy XIV, no bed actually. You could actually lay on the bed. It looked quite comfortable.
Yeah, and, you know, I think they need to make it look appealing and that you can customise it, you're right, without too much expense. You know, if you want to go the frat house look and have all your companions hanging out there, you know, Kaizen Fest in the closet with a ball gag in his mouth, that you should be able to do stuff like that. And actually, when I say things like that, I always think of Joe, that was our co-host on episode 72, and his lovely, lovely daughter. So I apologise, Joe. I think I've just given you another discussion you don't want to have. So I do apologise.
One thing I'm also hoping as well is, especially because Star Wars has wonderful parts throughout, especially throughout the storyline and stuff, where you make it a personal achievement. You do something that's really, really cool. And it'd be awesome if you can reflect in your dimension with that. Like, you know, have trophies or something up showing your character achievements in your apartments. And then when your friends come over, you have really cool shit to show them. Excuse me. Sorry, Joe. Cool stuff.
Yeah,
lots of cool stuff.
Sorry, I actually was muted. I wasn't meaning to leave you in an awkward silence there. I was agreeing with you.
Sure.
Joe, I hope you listen to this before you get in the car. All right.
Well, I'm just going to chime in once again on that. I think there's a pretty broad spectrum of examples of player housing out there, and I'm not sure where they're going to, where BioWare will end up landing or what they've got planned, but I can't see them bringing out anything too half-assed. I think they've got something fairly cunning planned, cunning like a ferret.
Okay.
But I could be wrong, but I'm imagining the best here. I mean, you've got the whole dimension where you can actually choose the setting and then you can put your house down anywhere, et cetera, like you do in Rift. The player housing in Wildstar looks pretty impressive as well. But then there's more to the other side of things, like DC Universe Online. That also has player housing. You can choose where the entry and exit point of your lair, well, because I play a villain, obviously, is. And that can be anywhere in Gotham or Metropolis. So that's kind of neat, the fact that it's a... because there's only two cities in the universe, but you can choose from a variety of locations where you want the entrance to be. Also, it's got something quite cool called the Armory, which is effectively a save point for various builds you have. So whatever gear or whatever setup. So if you've got a PvP setup or if you've got a PvE setup or whatever it might be, you can save it to the Armory and then just jump in the Armory and plonk on whichever one you want. Now, that's kind of a handy feature. It's effectively dual spec, but it's more than two.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a handy feature. Also, one of the things they have in that is you can customize your lair to a point until you've placed 20 items. And then up until that point, you can only put them in predetermined points. After that, you can pretty much put them wherever you want. And the 20 items are things that you collect when you're out and about doing things.
Yeah, so that's good.
And which I think that's kind of cool because they're things that you pick up when you've done something. So each of those items is going to have a meaning, is going to have an attachment, a memory attachment, because I got that when I went and did this, or that came from there. And that's kind of cool. And there's plenty of opportunities within the Old Republic to do something like that. Even there's a guy on the Tunicast, Red, who is a reputation fanatic, which is cool, whatever floats your boat. More power to you. But you imagine if you could get reputation trophies or something that you could put on a wall. I think that would be cool. So anything like that that personalizes your apartment from the things that you have done within the game. And I cannot conceive of them not doing something like that, because that it just makes everything, because what can you do in the ship? You've got a bed you didn't choose and a ship you didn't choose, and
the world's smallest locker in this world's most enormous ship room.
Yeah, and the ships, because I was running around it after looking in another ship that we'll probably talk about in a little while, and I realized this the interior of the ships in SWTOR are enormous.
They are, yeah.
They are vast. There's so much wasted space in there.
Yep. It's silly.
I don't know what they thought was going to happen in there. I mean, you could have a freaking rage in there.
Yep.
Right? Rave.
Rave.
Sorry.
Rave. Well, you could rage.
You could have a rave in there.
Yeah.
Or a rage.
Yeah.
Well, I play Empire, so it probably would be a rage.
I mean, just on two other things based on what you raised for my wish list. One is the location. Yeah, to be able to choose a particular locations on each planet would be ideal. I know it won't happen. So I know on the article that you wrote, Simon, I uploaded a pic with it, which was a nice location in Quesh. I'd love to be able to have my player housing there. I know it's not going to happen, but that'd be nice. The other thing you mentioned about being able to dual spec or whatever, I never thought I'd actually be citing Marvel Heroes as a good example, but it'd be nice to be able to walk into your player housing, go to your locker and pick out any of your legacy characters and swap characters.
Mm.
So, yeah. 'Cause given that they're all part of the same legacy, you're not breaking immersion that much by arguing that, you know, they all have access to the housing and you know, I want to move from a trooper to my, you know, Jedi Knight or whatever and off you go.
Yeah. And really when you get right down to it, just from a more meat and potatoes viewpoint of it, the apartment interior can be anywhere because what you can see out the windows is just going to be some freaking animated skybox anyway.
That's right.
So who's to say that the skybox from apartment A can't go with apartment Q?
Yeah, exactly.
So you could have a Coruscant-style apartment on Tatooine. That's stupid. It breaks law. But for God's sake, there's so many things in the game that break law already. We're past caring by now, surely.
That's right. Agreed. Well, let's wait and see. It's a good discussion, though. And if they pull it off, along with, you know, guild ships and stuff like that, eventually it's going to make for a hell of a game.
Oh, guild ships.
Yeah, sorry, I shouldn't have raised that.
Yeah, you shouldn't have.
And so the last Star Wars bit is obviously this weekend as we record this, but it'll be finished by the time you listen to it, probably the double XP weekend. So I know I was in there. I've got my trooper up to nearly 46. I'm getting him up there nicely. So I've been doing a bit of leveling and played, believe it or not, the Red Reaper Flashpoint for the first ever time today. I don't know how I missed it in my initial level up, but quite liked it. Either of you got? Well, sorry, I know Christy said you haven't, but Simon, you used on at all this weekend? Or
yeah, I went on to. Most of the characters I moved from the Apex. Well, all the characters I moved from the Apex server went on Berrigan Colony, but I've sort of gone cold on that server completely, so I ended up leveling up one of the one of my characters, a level 27, or at least he was, a level 27 Sith Inquisitor by the name of Tortura. I thought Darth Tortura when he finally That's gets good. The name would sound good. But anyway, he's I didn't actually look last time, but I think he's I dinged 9 levels.
Nice.
So he's been going well, and I'm still looking for the opportunity to kick someone over and Joe, daughter alert, send lightning up his ass so it blows his helmet off. Because I think that would be worth doing.
That would be. Nice thought. And look,
it's a good visual.
I reckon you should copyright Darth Torture. Well, except the Darth might be an issue copywriting because I could see BioWare actually using that as one of their character names. Rather, whereas my Sith Warrior's name being Captain Tennille is never going to be used by them for a character. Although
probably not.
Although after that lucky 77 speeder, I wouldn't rule anything out.
Yes. Sorry, I just realised because I haven't subscribed, I'm not going to get it.
Yeah, see, you'll miss out.
Yeah,
I'm so glad my pay is so tight this month.
Yeah.
I'm mid cycle. I can't avoid the damn thing.
No, I'm going to have to get a screenshot. Yeah. Anyway, all right. So that's a bit of Star Wars: The Republic. Let's jump on to some other things. So let's talk Elder Scrolls, because I know we had a decent discussion last time and some good email feedback. So I know Christy and myself, we both participated in the beta weekend, not the one just completed, but the one before. I wrote a mini review, and Simon, you jumped in as well, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did.
So all three of us, there you go, all three of us have played the same game. So let's talk briefly about that. I already mentioned in my mini review, I was a bit underwhelmed. Graphically, it looked fine. Dialogue, a little bit boring. Not enough new in the play mechanic or anything. Just there was nothing in it after the first 15 minutes. So I was going, yeah, this is, you know, another MMO I want to have some involvement with. It's like, yep, been there, done that. See you later. Christy, how have you found it?
I am probably going to go against everything I've heard or read, you know, when people are saying that the first 10 levels were terrible and that it only gets better, because I actually quite enjoyed the escape from the prison and all that stuff.
Oh, good.
I'm sorry. It got me enough to be interested in it, not enough, though, to pay the outrageous region locking that we are going to have to pay. Like, when I saw that it's going to be, it was like Skyrim where we're getting... just we had to pay so much more than America. I was just like, no.
Yeah, it's probably worth mentioning there, New Zealanders in particular have been gouged horrifically because they've been charged in euros, and it works out at something like $21 or $22 a month they're going to pay.
Yeah, well, that's exactly why I didn't subscribe to Final Fantasy as well, was because we were getting charged in euros. And for some reason, Americans think €1 equals $1, and it just doesn't. And I know over in actual European land, they're getting very pissed off as well with this whole one-for-one business. So, yeah it's I just can't understand how global companies are still doing this sort of stuff. So, yeah, I was interested enough to buy it, like if it was sort of $40, $50 and, you know, maybe not a $15 sub, but I would buy the game and at least play for the first month. That's always included. But yeah, just not enough to pay the gouge, I'm afraid.
No.
I know the boyfriend got very interested in it. I let him play.
Okay.
Yeah, he came in, you know, and I said, oh, you can play this. And he spent the whole afternoon, he just arrived, you know, spent the whole afternoon playing computer games. So I think I picked the right guy there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I know then I can play all afternoon. He won't disturb me, see? I'm thinking here.
Nice.
But yeah, no, he was very interested in it. I think he probably will pay it, but he's not as, you know, protesty and all that stuff about as I am. So he'll pay whatever they ask.
Yeah. And Simon, what was your take?
I still like the game. How can I put this? As far as an MMO goes, I think it feels enough like Skyrim for an MMO. I have no problem with the initial prison level because it is so brief. I created a new character today and I blew through that in probably less than like 3 or 4 minutes. It was fast. So if you're not going around opening every damn chest, which isn't really worth doing anyway, and cracking every urn, which I did first time through, you can get out of that prison quickly, and then lo and behold, a big wide world opens up. And I don't find the islands constricting. I still don't. Nowhere near as constricting as I did the starter worlds in SWTOR. It's to call the starting islands linear and theme parky compared to some other games, I don't think is a fair criticism. I like some of the puzzle challenges. I still think they're worth doing. I like the game. I wish it well, and I don't think it deserved the slagging.
Oh no, I agree.
That it got, especially when ZeniMax was so responsive. In they heard what people said and they've made those changes, and I think the game's going to be better for it. Having said that, is it worth a monthly sub? For me, no. Not really. That's not just specific to Elder Scrolls Online. I'm also feeling the same way about WildStar, and that is because a game that we will be talking about in a little while has just made me reevaluate what sort of gameplay I would really like, and whether another MMO is really the direction I want to go in. And I'm sort of moving to the answer of no on that. So do I think it's a good game? I think it is. I think people who give it a chance and go with it. I mean, the character customization's awesome, so you can start connecting with the character there. And, it's very linear, very theme park, the first bit. But like I say, 3-4 minutes, you can get the hell out of there and start on the main game and go to the city or go to the island. So, give it a shot. I think if you get the digital version, it's probably with the free 30 days, I think you'll get your money's worth out of that. And then if you decide to start subbing on that, also you'll enjoy yourself most likely. But probably not for me.
No. And I mean, I'm in the same boat. And for me, it was actually the play style. I despise the point name stuff. It just, as much as I like that sort of stuff in, say, something like Half-Life, it just shat me to tears in Elder Scrolls. I don't know, it's just my inability to aim properly and stuff, but I prefer the more traditional, you know, move and tab to target stuff because I'm useless.
Oh, I don't. I definitely prefer the point.
Yeah, that's the thing. I know I'm in the minority there. So,
well, I don't know, because I think about, 80% of MMOs, if not higher, would be tab targeting.
Yeah.
So I think I'm in the minority there, David.
Yeah, we'll see. So, there you go, Elder Scrolls, and directly leading on to WildStar. Now, I'll continue to claim ignorance. I've checked out the website. I have signed up for the beta, but I haven't received an invite. Am I right now? Yeah.
It's not worth worrying about it now.
Yeah, I know. So, Simon, continue. What's your take on where it's up to? And
well, who played in the stress test of us all? Because the NDA has been lifted, so we can chat and play.
Sorry.
No,
not me either.
So it was just me.
I tried.
Oh, did you? And you didn't succeed?
No, I did not succeed.
Oh, okay. Well,
you couldn't get in, or?
I couldn't get in. Because, thank you for getting me into trouble, David. Everyone on Twitter was like, you said you're going to say something and you didn't say something. And so, thank you. WildStar is, and I'm going to target NCSoft here because I do actually believe this is NCSoft support, because NCSoft is my favorite publisher and even probably up there with developers. You know, I'm definitely a fangirl, but they are the worst support I have ever experienced. And also their games, I always have such technical difficulties. I had technical problems with Ion, with Guild Wars 2, and now with WildStar. I, like many others, there was a forum thread about it. Couldn't get into the game at all. We would try to log in and it would just say the NCSoft authentication servers are unavailable. And the document on the support site was like, you should open up these ports on your router. And firstly, I don't particularly like going around opening ports on my router and turning off all my firewalls, including, well, only because I only actually had the Windows standard ones. So, I did. I went through, I opened up all the ports they said to open up, and I deactivated every Windows security feature I could find, and still I got, can't get in. So I sent a ticket off to support saying, hey, this is what I'm getting. I've spent 3 hours troubleshooting. I've tried this, and also linked them to the thread where a lot of people were complaining about having the same problems and all the things they've tried, which I did say in the ticket that I had tried. And I swear black and blue that NCSoft has a policy when they receive a tech support ticket to do a copy, paste, blanket reply. Because every single time, like I work in tech support, and not to say that as a, I know how to do this stuff, blah, blah, blah. But when I log a ticket, I log a ticket with everything that I had tried. And the blanket reply was essentially, try opening up your ports, try deactivating your security. And I'm like, dude, I said that in the first freaking ticket. Like I said, hey, I tried opening up these ports and I also tried deactivating these windows and I tried restarting and I tried, you know, standing on one foot and hopping around in circles and I sacrificed a virgin chicken to the gods, you know, so I sent back a not so nice reply going, please don't be condescending. I actually said in the original ticket that I had tried all this. And then they replied back with, wow, it was the most snarkiest thing I would ever expect for ever hear from a tech support. And it was so condescending and rude and nasty and wow. It was just, yeah. And then I was pretty much like, I'm going to ignore this now.
Sarcastic so tech support? That never happens.
No, I've not heard of that. I think this is bullshit.
People that work in IT have got excellent social skills.
I agree.
Well, this is the very opening sentence because I actually had the ticket here. I do apologize if you feel offering your basic tech troubleshooting steps that are known to solve your specific issue is rude, but this is how tech support works.
Right.
And I said in the original ticket, this is my exact workings. If I tried unblocking the ports as suggested in this link, I disabled all three firewalls on Windows 8.1 and ran the program as admin and I'm already using my email address as my username. Those are the four things it suggested I do in the blanket reply.
Christy, well, this is I had an object lesson in this myself, not to do with tech support, but dealing with a courier company, attempting to circumvent the process by trying to make things faster and more simple and easier invariably ends up taking a lot longer. Yep. And causing a lot more trouble. It's easier just to go through the process. Incidentally, Toll IPEC, you couldn't find your ass with a flashlight, a map, and a team of Sherpas. Anyway, moving past that.
You're listening to the Australian Consumer Association podcast. We're now taking calls with your complaints about retailers.
Well, so the funny thing
IPEC, is, what a pack of freaking idiots. Anyway,
WildStar. Let's get back to WildStar.
Well, I was going to say the second sentence he wrote is, if you are unwilling to at least try those suggestions or find the mere suggestions of these steps rude, please let me know and I can stop sending you these suggestions and just report the issue to development.
Cool. Yeah.
And I felt like saying, yeah, he never actually did. And then 2 days later I got a, hey, how was our support? And I wish I said, yeah. But, oh, my gosh. I must admit, though, I do wonder why even try. Because, I mean, I tried to troubleshoot it so many times and there was about 30 other people, all with Windows 8.1. So I'm thinking it was an 8.1 issue that are all having these issues. And people, like, eventually they said, oh, it just started working. So I'm like, yeah. But that was it for me. That was stuff you, WildStar. And like I said, I don't believe it's WildStar. I believe it is NCSoft's because I think they all use like a central support.
Yeah,
and I have this issue every single time I try to contact NCSoft for support. And then what's funny as well is I had to contact CCP for support and Blizzard for support that same week and I just got amazing customer service for them. Blizzard went above and beyond what I wanted them to do. All I wanted them to do was look into this little issue and they actually solved and completed it and did everything so that it was solved by the time I logged back on. And CCP, well, they did exactly what I asked them to do. They didn't sugarcoat it or anything. It was just blah, 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 done. But even still, I'm just like, thank you so much. But, yeah, NCSoft, yeah, called me rude 3 times in the first paragraph. So
excellent.
Well, on the plus side, I had no problem logging. I only got into the stress test, but I had no problem connecting and getting in apart from the fact that the characteristic you were in a queue and the numbers actually, the time increments were actually going up rather than down.
Oh, nice.
But I thought, oh, I remember this from WoW. This is cool. And I had a whole nostalgia thing going on. And then I got into the game and I tried an Exile and I tried Dominion. And I like it. I like the humor. I like the it's funny. I mean, I can't honestly say that the story. I've been spoilt with SWTOR. Let's face it, we all have been. With the exiles, you've got to help this captain with his big hat, who maybe think of a smuggler anyway. But you got to help him, help his wife, and you help save her life, and then nothing. You really don't actually have anything to do with them after that. So that's kind of weird. The Dominion was also didn't make a lot of sense, and this is just getting off the respective factions' motherships. You go through, and the hologram of the Emperor is telling you this and that and the other, and I sort of have to admit, I kind of felt the vibe from the Dominion side a little bit more. And they had, I think, better jokes, especially in one area where you have to. Again, part of a tutorial, but you go through into these simulator rooms that pit you against simulacrums of the four exile races, and they are just the most absurd caricature versions of what those races actually are and what they stand for. But I had a good chuckle a few times about that. And again, at the end of that, you go through the training mission, you get a standing ovation, and you're going, why? Well, that doesn't make any sense either. So, yeah, just roll with the punches. As far as the gameplay went, I mean, just the look of it, it did feel a bit wowish.
Okay.
In the way it looked.
Yeah, does have a cartoony look. Yeah.
Well, up a number of notches, obviously, because it's a much more sophisticated game, graphically speaking. And I don't think that's a bad idea, because we've had this discussion before. The reason WoW doesn't look anywhere near as dated as it should is because they went for a cartoony look in the first place, and that characteristic look didn't date, really.
And they're about to update it, yeah.
Yeah, because they went for something simpler and something cartoony, it didn't date as quickly as if they tried to go for something more realistic. So, as far as longevity, I've got no problem with the art style. The missions on the starter world were good. They pulled me through. I, again, did a WoW thing and tried to swim around an island, which had interesting results.
You died of exhaustion?
No, I was fully expecting to get exhaustion or fatigue or something like that. But no, I just the game just let me keep on swimming, keep on swimming, keep on swimming, and eventually ended up on an island which was actually that was several stages on from the story quest I was already on. So I actually ended up having to backtrack back through missions to get back to where I should have been, so I could actually progress again. But I don't really consider that a fault of the game. I think that's just this was how I wanted to play. It was going to let me do it. You play the way you want to.
Yeah.
And so again, I liked what I saw. I think it's a good game. I think it's going to do well. But again, after looking at another game recently, like The Elder Scrolls, I might even pre-order the thing so I can get the Rocket House, but
the subscription,
I don't know that it's worth a subscription to me.
Yeah, and that's the thing, particularly for people like us that play a few. You either got to give up another subscription to take it up, or it's always a big call.
Yeah, because these things add up pretty damn quickly.
Oh yeah. So, all right. And I've forgotten again, what's the launch date for Wildstar?
Launch date's June 3rd. Yeah. Pre-orders start March 19th. So as of recording, which is the 16th, that's only 3 days away. So by the time you're listening to this, if you haven't already pre-ordered, why not? Go. Protostar needs your money.
Absolutely. Speaking of companies that need your money, although in this case they got more money than what they bargained for, let's talk about Star Citizen. So, Simon, at risk of you wearing your voice box out.
David, that was a cruel segue. A cruel segue.
But I mean, I know. I mean, I obviously unaware And I feel totally terrible. I've forgotten the guy's name you're about to tell me. It's Roberts?
Chris Roberts.
Chris Roberts. He obviously put it on Kickstarter or whatever and has raised, what is it, $41 million or something?
I haven't checked, but yeah, they must be pretty well. Actually, no, I won't look at it right now. But yeah, they can't. They must be heading towards 41 by now.
Yeah, and so let's talk Star Citizen.
All right. Well, basically, back in the 1920s or something, I don't quite know the date. a game came out called Elite. Now, Elite was the first game that enabled you to. Players play within a universe, and also as a star pilot, and also had a functioning an economy. Now it was all very basic, but it led to a large number of games, and it inspired a large number of games. Now it was initially, I think, inspired by Star Wars, and that's a franchise that's really made its mark in a variety of ways. Chris Roberts himself, the guy behind Star Citizen, saw Star Wars, and that was what inspired him to get the game Wing Commander off the ground, and then following that, Privateer and all of the other games. So he's got a very, very solid pedigree in computer games, and also seems to have a knack for raising money, which is fortunate because making a computer game costs money, quite a lot of it. Now, they went on Kickstarter and were expecting to, I think, I can't remember what they were wanting to get, but I think they were hoping to get about $3 million. It was massively oversubscribed, and people have been pledging ongoing ever since. So they, when I made my pledge, they were on $39 million, just like 98%, 99% to hitting 40.
And when I checked them next, over.
Well, I certainly helped, and then I checked the next morning, and they were already 2% into getting to 41. So, yeah, there is definitely a lot of interest in this, and there's definitely a market for it. Now, one of the other games that Elite inspired would have been, of course, EVE Online, which, and there's certain things that you'll recognize from Wing Commander and Star Citizen and EVE. There's common DNA there. But where Chris Roberts has basically said that it's Star Citizen is going to be more visceral rather than with EVE, where arguably it's more to do with your mastery of a spreadsheet than of a starship, and you obviously there's a variety of opinions on that, but there is a certain truth to that, and this is going to be very much more a game where you walk to your spaceship, you climb into your spaceship, you sit in the pilot seat, you press some buttons, things click down, you can see your hands operating the controls on the screen as you operate the controls in the real world. You pilot your ship out of the hangar, blah 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 blah. So it's a lot more immersive. It's not I want to play in the starship, loading screen. Here's a handy hint if you didn't know, blah 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 blah. Progress bar. I'm sick of that crap. I am so sick of that crap. And that's what I came to realize when I picked up my mouse and keyboard for going into Elder Scrolls. It's not that there's anything wrong with Elder Scrolls. It's just I'm over the cookie cutter, the tired old aspects that you find in every MMO, because that's just part of the genre. Okay. And no game's been courageous enough to try and break out of that. And I'm not saying Star Citizen is breaking out of that, because it's not an MMO per se. So it's not really it's not fair to compare.
It's more a space sim. And I know when I watched the video, I've immediately thought this would so rock with an Oculus Rift, and then later in the video they say that they have or are developing it for the Oculus Rift, and it'll kick ass with that.
Oh, it'd be amazing. I would think.
Because as soon as you see, as you said, your hands operating the controls, that's where I thought Oculus Rift, that's what you wanted to see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've seen some videos of Eve Valkyrie, which is the Oculus Rift for Eve, and geez, it looks good. I must admit, I was all like, yeah, now I'm thinking, I really want an Oculus Rift.
Yep, don't we all?
Yeah, Valkyrie's looking quite interesting as well. But I've made my bed now. And so.
Yeah, actually, I was just looking, they have packages up to $15,000.
Yeah, I know.
But granted, the 15,000 one is all gone, guys. So sorry, if you wanted that one, you're not allowed.
Yeah, well, you could get some large ships, and there'll be more ships coming out. I mean, one of the things Star Citizen's doing at the moment is running a competition which they're broadcasting episodically, where there's teams of designers from various places around the world who are it's sort of like America's Next Top Model, but it's the next great starship. So they're competing to design a ship at the various stages of conceptualizing, roughing things out, and so forth, and just trying to get through to the point where their ship is the winner and actually becomes one of the ships available in the universe.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah. I know my favorite ship in Eve was exactly the same. That was a fan based who won a competition. It's kind of scary when the fans make better ships than the developers do.
One of the ones I saw in that competition, so it was some guy called Mr. Musco, Eric Musco, I think, he entered something called the Lucky 77.
Oh, I saw that.
I reckon he's in with a chance.
No, I don't think so.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair stab. But, the community interaction's really quite active, considering it's a game that's really not got much out there at the moment. Although, when you do subscribe, well, not subscribe, but when you make a pledge, you get access to what's called the hangar module, which is a hangar with your ship.
And you just get to sit in it. That's basically.
And you get to walk around it and get in it and sit in the gun turret, or if it's got a gun turret, which it probably does. And you'd think that that's a. And it's just basically a little thank you from them.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how long you can just sort of stand there staring.
You can vouch for that.
I can definitely do that.
Yeah.
I've even wasted time at work periodically just opening up Acrobat and reading the brochure for the ship, because each of the ships have got their own brochure. Some of them actually got full blown commercials, TV commercials. Some of those are worth watching.
Yeah, I mean, he's targeting the people that like spec-based stuff. And I mean, it's a bit like World of Tanks. There's a whole huge, cohort of people that love that stuff, and they'll do well. Oh,
yeah, definitely. There's a bit of that. But it's also for people who enjoyed things like Star Wars Galaxies. Yeah. If you want to, one of the things you can do is you don't automatically get a ship necessarily, especially if you're not doing part of the pledging where you pledge and you get a basic ship like the Aurora all the way up to the idiots that buy the Constellation, or the even crazier people that bought the more expensive packages and got themselves a frigate or a corvette or something like that. But you can there's a tanker that you can get, so you can actually just basically fly around refueling other people's ships and getting money for it.
So that's cool.
There's freighters, so you can fly from one A to B to deliver this or that. There's a dynamic economy, so if something's in short supply in one area and there's repercussions politically and economically from that, drives prices up and down. So there's a actual dynamic economy as well. But you can make more money or less money by delivering the right thing to the right place at the right time. You can actually hire people, NPCs, or other pilots, to use your ship to make these deliveries. So they get their cut, you get your cut, and you can make a profit while you're off doing something else. So it's not, so it's like companions, but actual stuff that you can tag along to. The Constellation, for instance, is a four-berth ship. So you can have four other people in there with you. Constellation also has a Merlin, which is like a little fighter, basically, that is stuck underneath the ship and will undock and, you know, can go to one of the destinations on one of the available planets and do something, or just run defense for your ship if it gets attacked. So there's just the sheer flexibility of experience you can have in something like that, as opposed to a theme park game. And there's nothing wrong with theme park games; they have their place. But I'm definitely more drawn to sandbox.
Yeah, absolutely.
And let's face it, a lot of people that were interested in SWG, they love the sandbox options as well. That's why the repopulation, I hope, will do well, because it's a sandbox game where, and it's why Eve does well, is because these are games where the players get to do stuff, to contribute. For instance, Star Citizen, there's Squadron 42, which is the single-player mission one, which basically leads you into Star Citizen itself, which is the persistent open world. But you can also have private servers running universes, and the whole thing's fully moddable out of the box as well. So modders can start doing stuff pretty much as soon as the thing gets released.
Yeah.
So the potential
is huge.
Is massive, because the you get a creative community behind these things, and it's a life of its own.
And I've heard that if it looks as good as Call of Duty, Gail's going to subscribe, or not subscribe, but sign up for it.
I must admit, I'm already eyeing off the Avenger game package for my next pay.
Yeah, because I looked at it, I think it was about a $60 or $70 one. I seriously looked at it and then just balked at the last minute. But I may go back after your convincing argument, Simon.
Yeah, this one's $75, but oh my God, that ship, she's beautiful.
Which ship?
It's the Avenger, the something Dynamics Avengers.
Dynamic Hypnotic.
Oh, the Avenger. The Avenger's interesting because that's moddable. It's a bit like...
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, they're all moddable. They've all got hard points and upgrades and so on. I mean, you can truly personalize the ships. But a bit like the Aurora, it's actually got a... Do you remember Thunderbird 2? Back in the ye old day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Thunderbirds. Well, if you don't, Thunderbird 2 was basically the utility ship for International Rescue. And one of the things they'd do ad nauseum is show you the stock footage of the Thunderbird 2 elevated and all of these sort of massive center sections, like a little aircraft hangar, rolling by underneath, and each of them was numbered, and each of them had a specific utility, and then whatever was relevant for that particular episode, for that particular mission, that particular module would go in.
Yeah.
So the Aurora can be customized in that way, and I believe the Avenger can be as well.
Thanks for that, Virgil. All right.
Yeah. Sorry. No. Probably more information than you wanted.
No, that's good.
But still, yeah, the Avenger just looks, it's really sleek looking ship.
Oh, isn't she just? Well, she reminds me of a motorcycle, like a motorcycle in space. I don't know why, but my brain is very weird, so.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean, actually. It's because it's got that interesting sort of, that sinuous sort of swan kind of curve thing going on underneath.
Yeah.
Well, I'll definitely put a link to it in the show notes anyway. So go and check it out if you haven't already.
So, oh, sorry, that was probably too much information,
no,
but
that's cool.
There we go. But yes, this is the game I am looking for, and I'm just going to be treading water until 2015 now.
I'm going to say it's a while off, yeah.
It's a long time off, but the Dogfighter module apparently has been teased for release April-ish. So a new module might be around. So one of the things that Cloud Imperium are trying to do is not only keep the community involved, but also sort of feed things out progressively to not only to keep interest going, but also to test.
Yeah, exactly. I just don't know how you're going to fit in all the time between this and Marvel Heroes, where you're going to find the time. But anyway.
Get that $200 back. I'd buy the Cutlass and the Avenger.
Yeah. I updated Marvel Heroes on both my computers today, got them totally up to date and patched up, and couldn't bring myself to click on the play button. Just quit out of it after I'd updated it.
Oh, sad, isn't it?
It is.
I so wanted that to
I
be
think
a better
there's words
game.
For that. But
yeah. Well, look, I'll mention briefly Diablo's next expansion's coming in the next month or so, and I may even get that rather than having to play Marvel Heroes.
Oh, and while we're speaking of Blizzard, if you pre-order the new WoW expansion, they're giving out the increase to 90 now.
Yes.
So if you want to put
that on the running sheet. I was going to throw that. That's right. So Warlords of Draenor pre-order. I actually pre-ordered the box tonight through EB Games just because I have all the other boxes for WoW. I thought I'll stick with my tradition and get the box
Did you get
version.
The CE?
No. I've only got the standard box.
Blizzard knows how to do a collector's edition, I admit. I love just their art books are worth it.
Yeah.
Do you get a pre-order code if you go through the store?
I did last time. With Pandaria, you did. So, I was able to have it. It's just they allow you to update your patcher and it's all ready to go. And then from memory, I either picked up the game, was able to pick it up at least 24 hours before launch or something like that and had the code.
I was just thinking because with the pre-order for this one, you get the increase 90. Your character to 90 now. Yeah.
I don't know whether you do with the box. I'm hoping you do because I'd love to get something up to 90 as easy as that. But
they might not have just given the codes out yet. So you might get a call later.
Hopefully.
If you do, let me know and then I might pre-order the collectors.
Yeah. It'll only bump one character though, so you have to make
sure
you choose the right one.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's not won't bump them all up.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and sadly they're already talking that they might make it a cash store thing.
They've pretty much confirmed it will be. Yeah.
Oh, it's a bit
sad. Hey, something I can spend my spend all my cartel coins in.
Wow.
Oh, no, wait, hang on. That doesn't work, does it? No.
I tried to buy Treak the other day, and do you think I could find him on the cartel store? I couldn't.
It's a her. And also, why?
I found the Treak pack for one character, but I couldn't find Treak applied across your legacy.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So don't ask me what was going on there because I've got something like 8,000 cartel coins at the moment. I thought I might as well blow a lot of it on Treak. Couldn't find the one across all characters.
Well, how many scratches could you buy with that?
Yeah, I know. I just let them accumulate. Soon I get my 600 a month as a subscriber and it's got up to 8,000. So I'll just give out my password and authenticator now so people can steal it. All right, let's finish up with Titanfall. Christy, just briefly, I know you're in the beta. It came out in the past week. Lots of excitement. It's just console or is it PC as well?
Console and PC.
It's
PC, Xbox One at the moment, and also Xbox 360. But they don't want to really talk about that because they want you to buy the Xbox One version.
Yeah.
At least you can actually buy Xbox Ones. I think PS4s are still on back order, aren't they?
Yeah, it's funny. I'm starting to hear even locally the odd radio ad now, you know, Domain or Harvey Norman, we have a shipment of PS4s in stock now. Come in, but, you know, you better be quick. So you're starting to see those sort of things pop up now.
Oh, wow. So I might eventually get one.
Yeah.
Probably when the PS5 comes out. I really, a lot of my friends are playing Titanfall and I really, really want to be playing it. But unfortunately, this month was no to all computer game purchases. But I played the beta and honestly, it's serious fun. It's, if you're into FPSs and you want to drive a humongous big mech, then totally go for it. Plus, it has chick characters and they actually look kick ass chicks. They're not like, you know, skimpy chicks. So I am totally giving you two thumbs up for that, except for the poses. Darn poses.
So they're not like Sex Star?
Definitely not.
No, okay.
You mean sticks with boobs.
Yeah.
Sorry, Joe.
Space boobs.
It's funny because, you know, with WildStar, you know, you can tell it's making fun of stuff. So, you know, you can honestly understand why they've gone for sticks with boobs, but you're thinking, why don't you go the other way around and have fun at guys for a change and leave us poor chicks alone for a moment?
Look, you can't get a more exaggerated male physique than pretty much every game has got in it ever.
Yeah, but they're all massive, between sexualized and
they're all tiny hips and massive shoulders, which none of us poor Homo sapiens are ever got a shit show of getting to.
I always remember my He-Man action figure from being a kid. Yeah, it was one of the most deformed looking anatomical models I've ever seen.
Yeah, their spines would snap.
Yeah, it would.
Well, the moment men are portrayed as objects, then I'm totally going to be there all for you, but you're not, so suck it. But,
well,
yeah,
you need
the
to
females...
buy a copy of DNA, my dear, and you'll be fine.
Titanfall has wonderful the characters' clothing. They're not really booby. They have made them slightly feminine, so you can tell that they're chicks. And apparently, there's an unwritten law in game development that chicks have to look like chicks. I'm not too sure why, since, you know, when you dress up all soldiers, they all look the same. But yeah, so the only thing I really can fault is during the character selection, the guys all have your typical pose, well, stance. It's not a pose, it's a stance, but the women all have poses, especially with the one hip flexed out to the side. And I'm sorry, random internet dude, but I'm going to point you out here. Look at females and see how they stand. Women do not stand like that in real life. Women stand just like men do, okay? The only thing we do weirdly is sit. We sit, we cross our legs. Other than that, we look like men, okay? Thank you. And that's all I have to say.
Sorry, well, bad mute again. I actually just said excellent.
I thought you had.
Yeah,
I thought you must have, so I thought I'd just jump in. I'm going to say that Gail needs to try Titanfall because it's a lot like Call of Duty, but better.
It's actually fun. So.
Yes. And it's got some innovation in there, but it's also familiar enough that you can pick the controller up and play it much like you did the other game when it used to be fun,
yes,
rather than a annual dollar grab.
Mm. Yeah, well, there's an uplifting note to finish on, I reckon.
Well, it is, because from what I've been able to glean of the game, just because you're in a big mech doesn't necessarily mean you're going to turn everyone into Chunky Salter who's not in one. The pilots can, especially if they coordinate with each other, can actually take a mech down without too much trouble. Also, there's the wall running, the sort of the parkour thing where you can kind of run round and round from an elevated position and actually shoot the crap out of something below you and they can't get to you because you're running around the walls. So there's some interesting gameplay mechanics in Titanfall that you haven't seen in any other FPS, and I think that's one of the – there's a certain level of creativity there and innovation in not only the maps apparently are really good, but not only in the gameplay mechanics that are available, but people are only now just learning how to exploit them. So it's a brave new world in a lot of ways, so worth the look. So, yes, go buy an Xbox One now.
Yeah. Or, you know, just play it on your PC.
Or play it on your PC. Or wait a few months and play it on the 360 version when it comes out.
Yeah.
I must admit, one of the things that got me about it was because of the running on the walls and the extra long jumping and stuff like that, because I really want to play Blades and Souls, but that still hasn't been westernized yet. So this game really made me feel like I was kind of playing it, but with robots, so that's like two thumbs up again for me.
Robots make everything better.
They do.
They do. That's why I'm going to go study them, so I can make my overlords.
Barring one robot I can think of offhand,
yes.
But
he's still in the cupboard, isn't he? Please tell me he's still in the cupboard.
He's making a return, we hope, next fortnight. So,
yes.
Yeah, he's been on off one of those underworld trading missions. Hasn't returned as yet.
I don't think he was actually on a mission. I think he might have been actually the one that made the thing up and coordinated it. I think he's selling spice.
Oh. Did he start the spice wars?
Now I feel like something with cinnamon in.
Yeah. All right, so let's wrap it there. We're well over an hour, and thank you to anyone that's still listening to us.
Yes, you're fools. Well done.
Yeah, you must have had a very boring day. So, yeah, thanks as always to everyone for listening. Firstly, if you want to get in touch, although we've had two people email in the last 6 months, that's probably a quota for a while, please give us an email on contact@oceanicgamer.com and check out the website. Believe it or not, it's actually had a bit more activity. We've actually been posting stories pretty regularly, thanks to some mostly great work by Simon, to be honest. I put the odd one up, but it's just ripping off your content, Simon. Thank you.
It's there to be ripped off.
There to be ripped off. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/TheOceanicGamer. Our Twitter handle is also TheOceanicGamer. Christie's is Evil Flaming Cat, and Simon tweets regularly under RPGBeatsRL. You'll find previous episodes of the show on iTunes, and we are also on Stitcher. And someone mentioned in a comment on the last one, they actually use Stitcher to listen to our podcast, so I nearly fell off my chair.
Stitch is awesome.
Yeah, it is. I had not heard that anyone used it, but someone mentioned that they were using it. So yes, thanks very much for listening, and thanks always to you, Christie and Simon.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
And yeah, have a great week, and always remember, if your pug wipes, it's probably because one of us was in it. Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
I always hit the wrong thing.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.